Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
We're talking about people relying on electricity to heat their homes and for cooking and so on a little earlier. And we had a message in from a listener who's in Roscommon. We were without electricity the last time for 15 days. Now it's looking the same because Storm Amy took out the electricity and it's been gone for days. There were trees left hanging since the last storm. Then they fell this time, blocking the roads for over 24 hours. And our listener in Roscommon says there should be a grant at this stage for household generators. And I think there are few who would argue with you on that. If you're going to be without power for days and days, you need support, don't you, to be able to function properly and heat your home and cook food. Thank you for getting in touch on 51551. Now, the summer may long be over, but the effects on your skin can be lasting because hyperpigmentation can happen at any time of the year, but it is more likely to appear as a result of UV light, being outdoors and going on sun holidays. Well, Dr. Rosemary Coleman, consultant dermatologist at the Blackrock Clinic, is with us to offer some practical tips on how to treat and manage it. And if you'd like to send a question in to Rosemary, you can text us on 51551 or WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning, Claire.
So hyperpigmentation is what we want to discuss this morning. What is it?
Okay, well, the first thing I have to say is you mentioned the summer was over, but as you know, UVA continues all year round. So the sunblock mustn't be over. Isn't that right, Claire?
That's right. We always get that message, Rosemary, loud and clear.
Have to do that. So hyperpigmentation is basically when you get pigmentation on the skin. And the type you're talking about when we're talking about summer is sun-induced or actinic pigmentation. Just that general mottling and freckling of the skin. And that's different to, you know, significant serious conditions, such as if you have a new or a changing mole or a mark on your nose that's just getting bigger. And it's just not going to be a harmless mole or a harmless freckle, Claire, if it just keeps getting bigger and staying there. So you must get that checked medically before you touch it. But with the general pigmentation, we've an awful lot of treatments to tidy up our skin after the summer. Because pigment is also called the new wrinkle, pigmented skin tends to look older, duller and just less attractive. So we have a lot of treatments for pigmentation that people can do at home by themselves using creams with active products like retinol, vitamin C, glycolic acid, azelaic acid, all over the counter. We can do chemical peels. We can use prescription grade creams for serious causes of pigmentation like melasma, which gets worse in the summer. We can use mechanical means such as microneedling, which is very effective, or liquid nitrogen with the dermatologist. And then we can use lasers and heat causes, heat treatments to improve pigment. So there's a lot we can do.
Are we talking about discoloration? So like brown patches on the skin? Is that what we're talking about? That's what it looks like?
Yes, brown. Now, it could be just confluent, meaning even such as a medical condition like melasma. Or indeed, Claire, I mentioned before to you about perfume on the neck as the number one cause of pigmentation and, you know, sort of broken blood vessels on the upper neck. And I was amazed at how many people had never heard, do not apply perfume to your neck or sun-exposed areas like your anterior chest, because it interacts with the sun and you can get pigmentation which can be virtually impossible to remove.
And of course, if you're going to use any of these remedies that you were talking about as well, then the SPF becomes even more important, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Well, protect your investment. There's no point in getting rid of it. We'll all get pigment, even at the end of the summer, Claire, and I'm like a vampire protecting myself from the sun. I will pick up pigment and have to tidy it up.
Right.
So no sun protection is 100%. Clothes are the best you can get, but we have to get out there, play our sports, go for our walks and live. But we can tidy it up.
Okay, and guard against it in the first place. Right,
exactly.
One of the treatments then when we're talking about hyperpigmentation is light therapies. Will you explain to us how they work and how effective they are?
Okay, so I assume you mean intense pulse light therapy or some of our lasers. So what they do is the wavelength will be targeted at melanin, which is the cause of pigment in the skin. And then the melanin absorbs the light and basically it just breaks down. So it looks like black pepper for a couple of days to a week, and then the skin looks far clearer without it. Mm-hmm. That would be the main way. Then there are other lasers, but the same principle, the wavelength is picked up selectively by the melanin.
Okay, and that is a treatment that you can do. But as you said earlier, you start off with the creams at home, and then if you're not getting results, I suppose you go on to the more serious therapies. Now, I have questions coming in, as always, and they're about various different topics to do with the skin. So let's start with this one. This listener has had psoriasis on both arms for about 29 years. And has used various topical creams, including steroid ones. It has destroyed the pigmentation in my skin, though, which is now quite patchy, and I can't wear tan. I also feel self-conscious. Is it possible to get normal pigmentation back at this stage? What do you think, Rosemary?
Well, I think that's an interesting case, because psoriasis, if you have a red plaque on your skin and you go out in the sun, it actually acts like a sunblock. And then if the red plaque goes, you're left with a pale patch until it repigments. But if that patch is staying there permanently, you'd have to wonder about a second condition, such as vitiligo, which can often coexist with psoriasis. So it's possible, I'm not trying to alarm her, but she might have two conditions going at the same time. And vitiligo has a tendency to occur at the site of inflammation in the skin or at the site of trauma. So if you have vitiligo and you have your appendix out, it's very common for the appendix scar to go white and lose all the pigment. So I think she could well benefit from popping along to a dermatologist who can get rid of both the psoriasis and assess as to whether or not there's a condition or a treatment we could help her, hypopigmentation.
And how do you
lose the pigment?
How do you treat the vitiligo?
There are a variety of creams, light treatments, and now there are tablets for that.
Okay, so she can explore all of that, but you're recommending
a
visit to a dermatologist if possible.
Yes.
Now,
to make a diagnosis for her.
Yes, okay, that's clear and understood, and thank you to our listener for getting in touch. So this next one is from Susan, who says, my 19-year-old daughter developed a moustache rash about 6 weeks ago. So across the upper lip, I assume. It's red, it's dry, it's tight with little bumps, and it's spreading slowly. They've tried a number of different remedies, including steroid cream, to no avail. It's exacerbated by heat. Would it be sweat related or an allergy to makeup? What do you think?
Well, it could be an allergy, but only if she is applying something such as a depilator cream to remove hairs from that area. That's the only cream I can think of that she would only apply to her top lip. I think it sounds like she might have developed a disorder called perioral dermatitis, and that's where it can be red with small little tiny minute yellow spots. And it's worth stop applying topical steroids. That's the first thing I'd say, because that could make perioral dermatitis worse, even hydrocortisone that she buys across the counter. Stop that. And if it gets worse when she stops, that pretty much confirms that diagnosis. There's a rebound. Pop along to the GP, who will assess her to see if she could benefit from a cream called Soolantra or an antibiotic. If it's the rash, I think it will often start to appear on her chin or even on the outer upper cheekbone area.
Okay.
But it's only there 6 weeks. I'm sure that's totally curable.
Right, but don't put up with it. That's the other thing to say, isn't it?
Oh, definitely don't put up with it. Absolutely not. That's very embarrassing
okay.
for her.
Okay, so go and see your GP and perhaps suggest that it might be perioral dermatitis.
Dermatitis,
and go
which
from
is
there.
Terribly common.
All right. Hyperpigmentation question. Is there anything that can be done for it on the chest wall after radiotherapy treatment for breast cancer 5 years ago, Rosemary?
Yes, it can. It's called chronic radiation dermatitis, and it's often a combination of pigmentation and broken blood vessels. And we often treat that with lasers and prescription grade creams. So definitely come along to a dermatologist, because she doesn't, assuming it's a she, but that person doesn't necessarily want the stigmata of the radiation to be visible every time she wears something lower. So I would expect that could be improved, Claire.
All right. Well, there's another treatment question here as well, because this listener's 16-year-old daughter is starting chemotherapy in the next few weeks. And first of all, we wish you well going through that.
Yes.
and I hope it achieves what you need it to. But they ask, can you please give advice on the care and the type of products that they need to help her?
Okay, well, I'm sorry to hear the child is going to go through that also. The chemotherapy, different chemotherapies affect skin in different ways. So the best people to advise her for the specific drugs she's going to be given is the oncology department, and their nurses are just superb support. But it's very hard to be more specific than that, Claire, because some chemotherapies give very specific rashes, and others will have absolutely no effect on her skin. But I would just take the approach, if she's on any active ingredients, unless she's got a particular problem, just use very gentle over-the-counter products like she can get in her chemist.
Okay, but again, to seek the advice of the nurses she's
oncology
dealing with.
Nurse.
Yeah,
that's totally
good advice, because there may be specific issues there that need to be dealt
exactly.
with locally.
Yes.
Now, this next one, does IPL or laser suit sallow skin for the treatment of cloasma? What is cloasma, firstly?
Okay, I'm so glad somebody asked that question. So cloasma is the same as the disorder I mentioned, melasma, which is an inflammatory disorder, and we often consider it a hormonal disorder, okay? It can be called the mask of pregnancy or the mask of the pill, although frequently it has nothing to do with pregnancy or the pill. But I'd very, very rarely ever see it in postmenopausal women, or indeed it's only in 1% of men, but men do get it. So it's that pigmentation that you'll often see on the upper cheekbones or on the central forehead, or sometimes it will go down the cheeks and onto the neck and chest. And it is absolutely crucial that nobody with sallow skin has IPL for melasma. In fact, we don't recommend IPL first line for melasma, because it can, in fact, make it worse, particularly because heat can make it worse. So we will occasionally resort to using it very, very judiciously after test patches, but it would be the last resort for us. Do not treat melasma or cloasma with IPL as a first line. And be very careful having IPL if you have sallow skin, because you really need very specific settings and people who do it an awful lot. Likewise with dark skins like Asian skin or black skin, because the IPL is quite indiscriminate about hitting the ordinary melanocytes as well as the abnormal ones. So IPL in dark skins is a no-no as a general rule.
So what should this person do then to treat the cloasma if they've sallow skin?
Great. That person would do very well with intense medical microneedling and topical prescription grade creams containing things like hydroquinone, vitamin C, kojic acid or methimazole. So there are definitely treatments for them. There are also lasers such as Permia, which is a 1927 wavelength, which is perfectly safe in black skin and Asian skin. And it is used again for melasma. With people with dark skin, Claire, if they get a lot of inflammation or heat in their skin, they can often get what's called post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation. So we try to avoid heat treatments with them unless we have to. Mm-hmm. So microneedling is where I would start for that person.
Okay.
And be incredibly careful with their sun protection afterwards when the skin is inflamed, or it will make it worse.
Rosemary, thank you so much for all that great advice. As always, Dr. Rosemary Coleman, their consultant dermatologist at the Black Rock Clinic. We will take a quick break back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.